This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. This weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia features stories about small farmers and some of the places where they sell their Appalachian products. The show also explores why there's been such a political debate nationally surrounding foods that are made with genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. This morning, we're going to hear a part of the episode in a story that takes place in Abington, Virginia. At the town's farmers market, Roxy Todd met one family who was selling their organic non-GMO products, and they told her why they're worried about GMOs spreading to more farms in their area.
The Abington Farmers Market was buzzing around 9 a.m. I stopped by one booth for breakfast, a homemade quiche with bacon and fresh cheese. That was delicious. I grabbed some coffee, and I wandered the outdoor farmers market to see what people were selling. It was fall, and so the market was bursting with vegetables. I stopped by to chat with one of the farmers named Richard Moyer.
You can see over there customers are picking through our tomatoes. We do heirloom tomatoes and heirloom beans. There's a bean over there called rattlesnake, which is a mottled bean.
An heirloom food is a traditional variety that comes from a seed that's been passed down for years and years. Many of the heirlooms Richard was selling have been grown in Virginia for generations. He was also selling ground beef, steaks, roasts, and soup beans from a handheld cooler.
And we've had people come and buy some of this meat in this cooler, and they'll come back and say, I want that, some more of that beef. It tastes like the beef I grew up with.
Richard says his family rarely buys food from the store. One of his sons really likes mustard, and sometimes the only thing they go to the grocery store for is mustard.
We have our own eggs, our own meats, our own vegetables, fruits, mushrooms.
Families with babies were in the crowd, surrounding us as we spoke. The market started to fill with more customers. Richard knew a lot of the customers by name.
I think that gives comfort to some people that they want to connect. People want to connect with their food. They want to connect with the people that grew their food. And when we grow this way and sell this way at a market like this, it allows people to do that and have face-to-face interaction.
While he was talking, Richard's 16-year-old daughter, Christina, was helping bag green beans and sell to customers. Like her dad, Christina says she likes the foods they sell, with special names that are traditional to Appalachia.
I like heirloom foods just because they've been around a long time. People have grown for a long time, and especially if they're from this area, if there's something that doesn't do well around here, you know, it wouldn't be around.
Why do you think some people like to grow GMO or buy GMO?
Well, growing GMO, one of the big things is weeds. If you have a small corn patch, you can keep up with the weeds by hoeing. But if you've got 10 acres of corn, you can cultivate when it's young, but there's not a really good way, unless you have a lot of labor and go out and hoe, there's not a really good effective way to control weeds. So I think a lot of people like heirloom corns better, but I think part of the reason that people grow GMO is just the weed problem. If it wasn't for that, I don't think many people would grow it.
Christina loves farming. At home, her chores include milking Buttercup, their cow, and taking care of the chickens, turkeys, ducks, and geese. She also helps work in the family garden and sell at the Saturday farmers market.
My daughter Christina, I joke with that she's my farm manager. And what I mean by that is she observes. She observes here at the market. She walks around at the market and sees what's in season, who's growing what. And she notices holes in production. Like if there's no lettuce in a certain part of the year, or there's not enough beans, or other crops, she says, we could grow that then. And so at home, on our farm, the animals we have, the crops that we grow, she remembers year to year what we've grown, what does well in certain parts of the year. When we're planning for the next year, Christina says, we didn't have enough of that, or we had too much of that. Or she has a great memory of what works well here and how to do more of the same. So we rely on her, and we're talking with her about, over the long term, this being her business of growing and selling here at the market.
But part of that future, for Christina and for Richard, depends on to what extent their neighbors decide to grow GMO crops. See, their family's income isn't made entirely by selling at this farmer's market. A lot of what they earn on their farm is made by selling seeds to the Southern Exposure seed catalog.
We grow heirloom corns, corn seed. And we test our corn. We pay $200 per corn crop to have it tested for the absence of detectable GMO contamination. So if I have a neighbor that grows a silage corn and pollen from his corn blows over and contaminates my corn, I can lose my entire contract, thousands of dollars of corn that I can no longer sell because my neighbor grows a corn, it's a GMO corn, and contaminates my corn crop. So the burden falls on me to test all my crops to show that they're GMO free at the limit of detection.
But this economic threat to Richard's farming isn't his main concern.
For me as a grower, as a farmer, I think there's the potential of losing local foods, losing the ways of growing the traditionally that we've done. So I see more as just a loss of the foods that have sustained us.
Heirloom farmers like Richard and Christina say GMOs are different, very different, from the types of plants they grow on their farm. Beyond their concerns that farming could change because of GMOs, they believe heirloom seeds have history, a story, and that history is part of what they identify with as growers here in Appalachia. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Roxy Todd in Abington, Virginia.
On this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia, you can hear more views from both sides of the GMO debate and more stories about Appalachian food and farming. Inside Appalachia airs Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evening at 6. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Downcast, or at wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Sunny today with highs in the 70s, clear tonight with lows in the 40s. For your weekend, sunny Saturday, highs in the upper 60s and lower 70s. Mostly sunny Sunday, highs in the 70s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by Marshall University, now offering undergraduate courses on its South Charleston campus. Program details and financial aid information at marshall.edu.
Thanks for joining us for West Virginia Morning right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Good morning. I'm Adam Harris. I'm the producer of Mountain Stage, produced here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting and heard around the country on over 150 NPR stations. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning because we're hearing West Virginia Morning, the news and public affairs issues that matter to those of us here in Appalachia and beyond. And today, look, more than ever, you have more sources for news to choose from than ever before. Countless number of print, electronic, and online media outlets, they never rest in their efforts to report what's going on. But here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, there are few others that command the degree of trust like our news team here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And our listeners take great value in that trust. And for some, that trust inspires voluntary contributions to West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And that's an important part of what we do and how we pay for the programming that we bring you each and every day. Invest in a news and information source that you trust. Call 1-800-RADIO-87, 1-800-723-4687, or make a quick visit to wvpublic.org and support this public radio station as generously as you think you can. It's Friendly Friday here during our spring friend-raising campaign, and everybody that calls before 7 o'clock this evening is automatically entered into a drawing for two tickets generously donated by Taylor Books to see Stephen King on his End of the Watch book tour at his sold-out performance at the Clay Center here in Charleston. Everybody that calls before 7 p.m. and everybody that's called thus far are automatically entered. Sustainers, thank you very much. You're automatically entered as well. But if you want to get entered into this drawing, we'd like to hear from you. Eight more calls this hour, 1-800-RADIO-87, 1-800-723-4687. More West Virginia Morning still to come.
Since they first met as students in Syracuse, New York, Rah Rah Riot has put a decade of experience performing under its collective belt. Here is Rah Rah Riot with Water on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Looking at the bus stop, night. But still I swam until my feet would touch the shore. I've been sleeping on your porch. I'm still too scared to bust the lock on your door.
That was Ra Ra Riot with Water. You can hear this song and more Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can listen to and read our news stories online at wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, Shepherd University, and Concord University. Our director is Teresa Wills. Our news director is Jesse Wright. I'm Ashton Mara.